Welcome along to our second of three From the Horse's Mouth podcast, at least three anyway, this week as we look ahead to day two at York and maybe a quick glance at Tipperary as well on Thursday evening. I've got Ruby and I've got Rory, and before I bring them in, a reminder, Royal Ascot's around the corner, and if you want a chance of a free bet, all you got to do is email fchm@paddypower.com for our punters panel episode and let producer Mark know what kind of a question you'd like to ask. He'll take it from there. If your question is featured, you get a free bet and you'll be on the show, which would be great. That'll be coming, obviously, the week before Royal Ascot itself. Looking forward to that, which Ruby Walsh is going to. Are you going to Royal Ascot, Ruby?
I'm working for ITV at Royal Ascot. I will be in the vicinity of Ascot. I suppose, yeah, I will be at Royal Ascot.
You will be there.
When you look down the grandstand to the very end and you see the trucks parked in the background, that's where I'll be.
Okay, so you're doing commentary on the royal procession and stuff like that? You'll be doing sectionals and all that sort of thing?
Don't quite have to do the royal procession.
You still have to do, you still have to wear the full garb, even if you're not in the various enclosures, the fancy enclosures, yeah?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Poor thing.
Rory, are you going to Royal Ascot?
I don't know. Someone did say I haven't actually applied for accreditation for Royal Ascot yet. I'm not a massive fan of going to the meeting. It's just
not really.
Oh, it's just old human life is there, and not always the best bits of it. But I might I might have to drag myself along. So 31st of May is when that. So just
make a mental note.
Checking when the old deadline is. Yeah, I need to get myself out to more race meetings. So. And it's not that far. It's one of the closer ones to me as well. So I really should go to Royal Ascot.
You probably should, given, yeah.
I do enjoy it, but I would love if they had aerial cameras at Ascot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No drones, no?
No, not with the security issues with...
Yes, where it is.
Charles. New man in charge now. Give Chazza a ring. Say, we the footage would be better there, Charles, of your slip of the pen winning. Or
even if you're watching, like, you, and for me, especially at Ascot, if, like, we all back horses in big race handicaps and you're goosed after going 100 yards. But, like, if you could just show back and say, look, this is what happened, how it happened, why it happened. Like, and even the sprint race, if you could get a look at them from overhead to see how far the left is in front of the right or how far the middle is in front, you could just see so much more. And it'd be more, I think, entertaining for people at home watching it and people who've had a bet to see. Like, when you're trying to watch a sprint side on where they're split across the track, you might as well be watching dots on the screen.
It is a very fair point, and I know we do this a lot, but I look at the big sprints in Australia, that sort of stuff, and you see the drone footage, the straight five in Flemington, it's brilliant. It really is. It does show you a different angle. Come on, Charles, get it sorted. Never mind that security, we'll be fine.
I know there's loads of different reasons, and it's not just as simple as saying we should have this and we should have that, but from the mile gate up to the home turn, and the same from past the stands all the way down to Swindley Bottom. If you could just show those races back, I think it would actually do the sport a favour.
It would. There's no doubt about it. And it is that simple. Come on, just get it done, lads. Sure, they can fly drones around Dublin Airport. They can fly drones around, which they seem to be. They seem to be a lot of recently.
I think the drones around Dublin Airport are half the reason why you can't have drones at Ascot, quite frankly.
Right, okay, fair enough. Right. Bring one then, Rory, along with your press accreditation, to see how you get on. We need to talk about Thursday racing, and we're going to kick off with the 150. We're recording, by the way, on Tuesday, so a lot of price changes no doubt will happen between now and then. And I am hopeful that I get the right on the extra places, but do check paddypower.com. I'm expecting an extra place in the 150, which is our first race, the sprint handicap over 5 furlongs. I have prices. Very first show since the decks have come through. When the deal is done for Buick and Teal, that's Roger Buick, William Buick, and Roger Teal 4-1, Mountain Peak, Rushy Murphy and Ed Walker 7-1, 8-1, Corker for Carl Burke, as is Alligator Alley for David O'Mara, and Designer for John Butler, and Illusionist for Grant Chewer. John Butler, the very well backed winner on Monday on the all weather. All right, Rory, to you, 5 furlong dash for the older horses. This is your bread and butter, sir.
It should be. Surprised that when the deal is done, his favourite. I think he's got a tough ask from where he is. I like him a lot. I like him as a project, but he's got a nasty habit of starting slowly in his races, which is never ideal at 5 furlongs, particularly a really fast 5 like this. So he's been very impressive before at Ascot, but Ascot's one of those tracks that is forgiving of horses who are a little bit slow into stride. You can then ride a race from behind and they go hard and it's a stiff finish. Not really the case at York. And he's also right out in the wing then. So if he starts slowly from stall 14, he's in massive trouble. There'll be nothing around him at all. So it's difficult for him to latch onto the field even from there. And while he's definitely got the ability to win off his mark, I just thought this wasn't a good setup for him. There's not a huge amount of pace around him either, for you know, to be able to hope that they sort of race in a line there and he can just tuck in behind. Although ironically, I'm going to tip something with a similar sort of profile to him. Mondemez has drawn a stall 12. Again, maybe not ideal. He tends to come from off the pace in his races, but he's not so much one who's he doesn't lose as much ground at the start as when the dealing's done can. And he's shown himself to be very well suited by a very fast 5 furlongs as well. So although there's some iffy looking for him, figures for him, at the moment, he's been, in the ruck here twice. Late last summer was then beaten, into 11th in the Beverly Bullet, before finishing 5th in his reappearance, on heavy ground at Ripon. The heavy ground would have been against him on his reappearance, but he would have needed that run, to put an edge on him. Again, I'd rather he was drawn, right in the middle, so he could just chase the pace. There's a slight concern with him being drawn close to the wing there, as with the favourite, that if the pair of them start slowly and everything else moves away from them, they get a bit isolated. But hopefully he can do what he normally does here and just miss that little beat at the start and then chase after them. He will be coming home strongly. I can see them sort of drifting middle to far side in this race, given where the pace is, and we don't know what the draw is going to be like here. There were a couple of years ago, it seemed like you had to be drawn on the far side in the sprints at York, but that wasn't really the case. It wasn't really the case last year, and we'll see how it pans out here. But just looking at the shape of the race and where the speed is, most of it's sort of middle to far side, and I think that's probably where they're going to end up. Mondemez will have plenty of room to deliver a challenge. One of the issues with him is that he can run into traffic problems, but he does finish off very fast in his races. He is well suited by a really well run five at a track like this. You'd think he'd probably want a stiffer finish, but actually this suits him. He doesn't have winning form at York as yet, but I don't really think it's an issue. You do have a couple of moderate runs there when he was 14th of 15 and 12th of 22, but he ran a very good race in Listed Company here. July last year in the City Wall Stakes, and if he bounces back to that form, he would be in the frame, and he's got plenty of other pieces of form that give him a chance. He tends to need a run to find his form, which he's had last time out. So I think he'll be close to his best. And as I said, if he repeats the form he showed over course and distance, in the City Wall Stakes last year, he goes very close here. So I'd give him a chance. He should be at his peak at the age of 6 now. Yeah, and he'll be a fair price. We're waiting for prices yet, aren't we?
No, I have prices.
Oh, you got prices? Oh, okay.
I do. You've got double figure.
Yep.
Which I suppose you're probably expecting.
14
to 1 first shot.
Yeah.
Very first shot.
I think that's fair enough. You know, you might get an even bigger price than that, just because, you know, he's not... Anthony Britton wouldn't be the most fashionable trainer in the country. And of course, his form figures read 0005, and that tends to put a few people off. And, you know, he was well enough beaten at Ripon as a return. But I do think that he's got more in his favour now, and he will come back to form.
Yep. Mondamage then for Rory. That is in race number one, Ruby.
I'm going for the horse who was just in front of him at Ripon, behind Hyperfocus, and that's Illusionist for Grand Tour and Sam James. A vintage Clarets. You're looking back at the race, was the one the commentator was calling, needs to get a run. But I didn't think Illusionist got a brilliant run just outside Vintage Clarets either. And that was Illusionist's first run since the 24th of June 22. That was in April of 2023. I think with 19 days since, Illusionist could have stepped forward. And I was going to side with Illusionist off a mark of 90. I thought it ran really well at Ripon, and I could see him coming forward.
Picked up the Astrologist on Wednesday. He's going with the Illusionist on Thursday. And Sam James is jockey, by the way, to Treble on Monday afternoon. He's riding really well at the moment. Right, that's Illusionist for Ruby, Mondemez for Rory. On to the 225, race number two. It's the Middleton. This is for the older fillies and mares. Over the the 1 mile, 2 furlong, the Dante course, I suppose, or the Amusador. Free win for John Thady Gosden, and Frankie Dettori's been put in 13-8 favourite. There was talk of potentially a tilt at the Arc last year, but never materialised. She only ran the once, but she was a very impressive winner. Aristia for Richard Hannan is 7-2. Sea Silk Road for Buick and Haggis is 5-1. It's 7-1 Toscana Bell and 9-1 Stay Alert. Back to you, Ruby, for our first group action on Thursday.
Yeah, look, unless there was a serious negative for Free Wind in the papers or from John Gosden or Thady Gosden or someone happened to give you a massive negative, I would be with Free Wind every step of the way. She hasn't run in 320 days when she showed an unbelievable amount of natural ability to get out from the interference she suffered from Ishada to get up and beat Sheila Rossa at Haydock. That was in the Lancashire Oaks. She hasn't run since then. But if you got any positive, I'd say she's a great price at 13-8.
Yeah, wasn't John Gosden actually relatively downbeat about arrest ahead of the D Stakes or the Chester Vaz? I can't remember which one he
won. Yeah, one of them. He was a little bit, but
he absolutely hosed up. So yeah, look, it's a funny one. It's a funny one.
But I would want to hear that Free Wind has, lost a leg or something. I the more I watch back that race behind the shadow, she showed, I think, fabulous natural ability to get herself from there to winning, and I'm with Free Wind all the way.
Like I said, there was a few people tipping her up for the Arc on the back of that. Rory, your thoughts on the Middleton?
Yeah, I completely agree there. It was stunning that she managed to win that race, because she wasn't just hampered. I mean, Jim Crowley tried to put her through the rail 3 or 4 times. Literally, it was one of the. I'm amazed that Crowley didn't pick up a big ban for that, because he knew where she was. He's allowed Sam enough room for her to come up the inside, and then he shut the door. And he didn't just shut the door. He kept shutting. Do you know that bit in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels where Vinnie Jones sat it with the car door? It was a bit like that. How did she finish the race?
I say it, Rory. I was all for it as a jockey, right? And close the door, get by, get over. But to me, the easiest way to close a door is never leave it open.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When someone comes there, you can't close it in their face. So that's often what I mean, and probably don't explain myself when I'm saying it. But to me, doors should be closed. It should never be open.
Yeah, yeah. But the door was definitely ajar there.
It was more than ajar.
Yeah. But then it was shut, and it was shut in no uncertain terms several times, because he was halfway through the door. So it was one of those performances you had to see to believe, and to think that she's managed to finish ahead of Ishada there was remarkable. If you just stopped the film at the point of the interference, but she's gone absolutely destroyed. She went beaten her by 2.5 lengths, came through to win that really well. Obviously, she's taken a slight step back in trip here, and she's been missing since then, which is obviously a little bit of a concern. But that form is clearly the best form in the race. And as Ruby's spot on, your only worry there is when the price looks too good to be true. You start to worry whether it might be too good to be true. But you couldn't, in the absence of any more information, you couldn't possibly be against Free Wind. And odds against looks value at this stage. Obviously, people will be speaking to John Gosden pre-race, and you see bits and pieces in the paper in the morning. And if he says, she'll badly need the run, then you might want to tread carefully. But she might badly need the run and still win this easily.
Exactly. Poor old Thady. Poor Thady. Thaddeus.
Poor Thady, I know.
Thaddeus may be the one giving us the updates. Right, so a double nod for Free Wind in the Middleton. On to the Hambleton, one of the big mile handicaps of the season, arguably. It's a really, really interesting race for 4-year-olds and upwards. And assessment for Ryan Morris and Michael Stout, very lightly raced, but comes here off a win on the all-weather off 85 and straight to the top of that of the market. 4-1 favourite already in from fives. Northern Express for Michael Dodds, 7-1. The Informed Michael Dodds, 8-1 Imperial Sands for Archie Watson, Holly Doyle, 9-1 Cruyff Turn, who we've seen plenty of times over this course and distance, and Tens Bar. Rory, back to you. Big handicap, 4 hours and upwards. Again, you're meat and drink.
Yes. They're never easy, though, are they?
No, they're not easy, but you like these.
Yeah, I don't mind these. And I napped the Turpinator when he ran in the Thirst Cant Cup. And he got an absolutely horrible run through that. And I'm not against him at a big price. I'm not going to put him up, but I've got to mention him first because I was reasonably keen on him last time out. He had the widest draw there, and he's come out. He's a bit too keen after a break, in fairness. But I said, the one thing you don't want the jockey to do is to make a beeline for the rail. And he's made a beeline for the rail. He's crossed over. He's ended up the only horse to race on the rail in that race of thirds, when everyone else has come well off it, because that's how we find out the track needs to be ridden. So you can put a line through that right for the Terpinator, and there's a race in him this season. I'm going to stick to my guns now. And so, when I said he might just be best at 7 furlongs, again, he didn't, even though he's in the wrong part of the track, he didn't quite get home, having made a fair bit of ground mid race in that. And I think I'll probably want to stick with the Terpinator when he's back at 7. But he is 33-1, which is sorely tempting. But I'm going to keep this reasonably simple. Cruyff Turn won this last year. He's got stall 3 this time around. He's become a little bit unpredictable at the start. Again, too many of the horses I fancy have a habit of starting slowly. He didn't start slowly when he won this race last year. And he doesn't want to be doing that from stall 3 this time around, to be giving away the advantage off the draw. But again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Tim Easterby is a genius at getting his horses right at the right stage of the season. Cruyff Turn was a winner on his second start 2 years ago, and then kept his form through the season. Needed a couple of runs to hit top form last year, but won this in his third start on good ground, and won it in good style from Brunch. And Brunch has been second in this race for the last 2 years. He didn't really hold his form after that. In fairness, he ran pretty well in the Bunbury Cup. He was beaten less than 3 lengths in the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket, but he was disappointing in a couple of starts either side of that, and disappointing again in the Thurscant Cup on his reappearance, which was a race won by Northern Express. But I think he would have he'd have been in need of that. He did show enough mid-race to suggest that he retained all his ability, faded as if the run was needed as well. I know that's not that long ago, but I do think that was a run to set him up for this. I'd want to know that he's going to jump fairly well from the stalls, because he was handy last year. But this track suits him really well, and he's done me a couple of turns here, so I'm going to stick with him in the hope that he's back to his best. And a mark of 96 is very fair on what he did. And he's with a trainer who's very, very good at getting these good handicappers back to good marks for the races they want them to be in. And that looks to be the case again with Cruyff Turn. So I'm not going to be silly and try to find something obscure when it's staring me in the face.
There you go. Keeping it simple. Cruyff Turn for Rory Ruby.
Yeah, Cruyff Turn is in 3. Obviously, you have Astro King having his first start for Daniel and Claire Kubler in stall 4. I like Croupier in 6. Now, it's going to take a little bit of explaining. I'm not really doing a Frank on it here, but it's going to take a bit of explaining. If you go back to 21, first runner is a 3-year-old in Sandown. You ran the novice race, won by El Bodigan. Hu Yamal was 3rd. Croupier was 4th. I thought, oh, that's a solid enough effort. Then he went to Newbury and he beat Gaius. And on his 3rd and final start that season, he was 2nd behind American Star back at Newbury again. He had 4 runs in 2022. He won 2 of them at Windsor and Chelmsford. And he had 1 run this season where he was really disappointing in the Lincoln. Now, he was quite keen in the Lincoln. He was handy all the way. And then, to me, just blew out 3 down and weakened from there home. So I think I'm willing to put a line through his Lincoln run. I hope that's taken the edge off him, as in terms of freshness wise, and made him a bit fitter. And I think Croupier at a massive price in stall 6, William Buick on board, will do me.
Very similar colours to St. Sam. Is it a different owner?
Not similar. The exact same.
Oh, it's the same owner, yeah?
Edware, yeah.
Edware,
okay, yeah. Very good. Okay, St. Sam, of course, a winner, Killarney. That's a double that everyone's done. The old Killarney-York double in the same week. Okay, so Croupier, keep an eye on that one in the 3 o'clock whilst Rory going Cruyff Turn.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the 3:35, and we're back into group company and the look, whichever trial you like. A lot of people say this is the best Derby trial. It is the Dante Stakes. It's a big field this year. Sometimes we get four, sometimes we get five runners. Not this year, double figures. Epictetus for Frankie De Sori, Jonathan Eddie Gosden. I think they nominated Sean T after he won at Epsom, but maybe they're thinking again because it's such an open derby. 3-1 favourite. Flying Honours for Buick and Appleby is 9-2. Continuous for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, 11-2, as is Passenger for Sir Michael Stout and Richard Kingscote. 6-1 Canberra Legend for James Ferguson, who looks very smart. 7-1 the Foxes and 9's Bar. Back to you, Ruby, for the Dante. It looks wide open, like the Derby.
Yeah, it does. And I'm sticking with the horse I was tipping in York last week, and that's Passenger. Obviously, he's a non-runner because of the soft ground there. He's a once race maiden. He won at Newmarket. He won a race for a horse who'd never ran. I was just really impressed with how he won it. He's a homebred of Nearchos. He's by Ulysses, who obviously raced in their colours as well with Flaxman Stables or Nearchos. It's pretty much the same thing. Well, it's not. It's a company and a person.
Oh, it's the same.
You know what I mean?
It's the same.
So I do think that he's the one for me. I'm taking a chance. I mean, I can't say his name, PK. Epictetus. I learned to say that. Epictetus. I know he won at Epsom, but you'd have to think Augusto then let the form down, didn't he, a little bit? Hollow Bay from Doncaster last year. He's Ascot form. He won. Hadranius of Johnson's was second. He did run behind the rest at Chester last week in the Vaz. So don't think he... Did he make the form really strong, Rory? He didn't to me, anyway.
Well, no, he was beaten 10 lengths behind the second, wasn't he? Hadrianus. So it was disappointing that day.
I'd be slightly against the favourite, and that's why I'm going with Passenger.
Okay, Passenger for Ruby. You put him up for the D stakes as a non-runner last week. So on to the Dante they go. Rory?
Yeah, you'd have to be positive about Passenger, but I made the same comments before the D stakes. It's really tough when you lack experience. Even against horses who've had two runs, but coming straight out of a maiden race, and the Wood didn't, obviously, is only for unraced horses as well. Clearly, he's held in high regard to be in here in the first place. Conditions went against him at Chester. I think he'd probably handle the conditions perfectly well at Chester, but they clearly didn't want to tear the guts out of him in a second start. Ulysses is developing a profile as a soft ground sire. So I'd be a little bit concerned about him at faster ground, to be perfectly honest. Stall one's not easy either for an inexperienced horse. He'll need to be on his mettle to be away on terms. But if he's, it's the ideal test for him. If I was Sir Michael Stout, I'd be, glad he was in here because it'll give you an idea whether it's worth, taking that chance, taking him to Epsom. But I think he's got a tough task here, as it stands. I'm going to go for one with plenty of experience, but one who I think is still capable of better, and that's the Foxes. Of course, I liked last season. He very much caught the eye over an inadequate trip on his debut, and then was drawn out of it, I think, in the Cheshire, which is a funny old race. I thought he would win well in his maiden at Goodwood. He's rather scraped home, but the second and third both won races. The runner-up that day, Classic, is out of Miracle Date with Destiny, is George Washington's only foal. And that form's worked out reasonably well. He's just gone from strength to strength after that, winning the Royal Lodge, which turned out to be a slightly strange race, but I thought he was, I don't think you could take anything away from him. He had to come through a narrow enough gap on the far side and showed a lot of guts to win that race, improved again for the step up to a mile. And he's run to at least that level when second to Indestructible in the Craven. Again, looking like he will keep getting better as he steps up and trip. Takes another two and a bit furlongs step up here. He's out of a Darshan mare who's produced a couple of winners at an extended mile and a quarter already. I think he'd be really well suited to this. He won't mind any hurly-burly that goes on because he's learned a lot from his racing so far. And I think he looks a really solid one. I will go each way here, though.
That's fine.
I think he's got the profile of the kind of horse you want to be backing each way, because you don't know what you're running into with the lightly raced horses. Passenger could turn out to be a superstar. One or two of these who've only had one or two runs could turn out to be very good. But he's very solid. And I think it's going to take a very, very good horse to beat him. Therefore, I'd be more than happy to back him each way.
Okay.
Unashtemi is 6-4. He's not 6-4, is he?
No, he's not. The last I checked, he was 8-1, I think. Hang on, I'll go back now because I've already moved on to the sprint. Seven to one at the time.
Yeah, well, listen, 7-1 makes an awful lot of each way appeal to me.
An awful lot. Oh, I like that. And the Foxes, of course, are going to be relegated after brutal effort during the weekend.
Yeah, I'd be very now. I mean, we sort of touched on that. I'd be very negative on. I want to call them Epictetus now, just for the sake of causing trouble. The
Blue Ribbons. I thought you'd be very negative on Leicester Football Club there, because I think they can get
a miracle. Yeah.
Oh really? They're pretty awful.
They pretty much need one. They absolutely need one now. They were very disappointing last night.
They weren't playing as if they were like their title was on the line. Okay,
I wasn't negative about Leicester Football Club. I was negative about Epictetus in there, because I think the Blue Ribbon trial is looking a little bit shaky already, and I wonder whether he will be particularly happy on what could be quick ground here. If the weather turns out nice, we're hitting summer here now. It's really, things have changed a lot in the last week, and I think we're suddenly going to get the ground tightening up much quicker than we're expecting. And we're going to be, horses who've been racing on soft and good to soft ground are now going to be tackling a different surface. And he looks very short to me. He's, what is he, 3-1?
Yeah.
I can see him going off twice that price.
Oh, wow.
On the day.
All right. Epictetus, whatever you want to call him, the Frankie and Jonathan Eddie Gosden horse. On to the 410, which is the Westo Stakes. It's a listed event. No prices for this three-year-old sprint at the time of recording, but I'm going to give you what are the top-rated horses. Rocket Rodney and Wolbank on the basis of their two-year-old form. Aidan O'Brien sends over Hispanic with Ryan Moore booked. Would be given a chance. Wolbank as well. I've mentioned him already. He's top-rated. I'll go back to you, Rory, for this. Anything catch your eye?
Not my ideal race to be getting involved in. I'd rather be with something that's promising and hasn't shown all it can do yet than stick to last season's form, because 2-year-old sprinters don't often train on to be 3-year-old sprinters particularly well. So I'd be wary of those who were pretty exposed last season. Wolbank didn't have that many races, I suppose, and I wouldn't be massively against him. But Pillow Talk was impressive when she won on her second start here. I was with her when she won there. That was at this meeting, the Marygate Stakes. She then, I wouldn't say she blew out on the Norfolk, but she ran on the Norfolk because the stable companion had the Queen Mary wrapped up. But I really liked the way Pillow Talk shaped on her debut. And I thought she did it in nice style on her second start. And the fact that she ended up missing a chunk of the season might end up being a blessing in disguise. Carl Burke has got a very good record at this meeting. Very good record at this meeting last year, particularly. Again, I was going through the handicap records, and he's got a fairly good handicap record. Then I realized that all his handicap winners at this meeting in the last 20 years came last year. So he had nothing at all until last year, and then four winners. Obviously, again, we're not looking at a handicap here, but Carl Burke has had his horses pretty forward for this meeting in recent times, and I'm hoping the Pillow Talk can bounce back. Again, the fact that she's missed a large chunk of last season is a bit of a red flag. And if there's weakness in her, you'd be slightly concerned about that. But I do like her as a project, and I'm going to stick with her.
Pillow Talk. Ruby, anything for you?
Rocket Rodney.
Rocket Rodney.
Pillow Talk and Rocket Rodney are not quite the same. Were the same race in Ascot last year behind the Riddler? Rocket Rodney
Norfolk,
was.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Norfolk, yeah. I'm going for Rocket Rodney.
Okay, lovely stuff.
No, Rocket Rodney wasn't behind. Rocket Rodney was behind Little Big Bear, wasn't he?
That was the Windsor Castle then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And Pillow Talk was behind the Riddler. Yeah, I'm going for Rocket Rodney.
Rocket Rodney for Ruby Walsh. Speaking of Ruby, I wanted, before we wrap up the Thursday action, there are four declared Willie Mullins horses.
Hang on.
Salisbury. Salisbury.
The Knapp is in Salisbury.
Are you joking me? How's the Knapp in Salisbury?
This will win.
Okay, all right, fine. But it doesn't matter as long as it's winning that. So the Salisbury 205, we're also going to look at. It's the Highclere Castle Gin Phillies Condition Stake. It is live on ITV, which is why we're talking about it. And two previous winners, Relief Rally for William Haggis and Tom Markant, and Juniper Berries for Eve John Snowden and Charles Bishop. They're going to make the market, Relief Rally and Juniper Berries, I would imagine, Ruby. And I have to go straight to you if your nap's coming here.
Juniper Berries.
Reason?
I thought it bolted in at Bath, where it beat Grey, and a winner has come out of the race since as well, which was Beanham, maybe? Yeah, Beanham won at Goodwood since. So I think Juniper Berries will win from, I think it'll win, and I'm going to nap that as well.
I thought you were going to nap it because, as you know, Ruby, gin is made from juniper berries. And this race is sponsored by Highclere Castle Gin.
I don't drink gin, and I didn't know that.
No, well, there we go. Rory, had
I'm depressed enough, BK. Don't get into the gin.
I know, it's the tonic you're going to be wearing. It's not the gin itself.
Tonic is it, all right? It's always the same. I usually blend the ice with tonic juice.
Good quality apple juice and gin. Very nice.
Is there a name for that?
There should be, really, shouldn't there? No, it's not. It's very nice. It's very nice. The people next door, they make a gin cocktail which has basil leaves in it. They call it Basil Smash. And in fairness, a few of those and you are basil smashed. So there you go. Different ways of having your gin without getting depressed.
I stick Meg to the house next door. This podcast is going in all directions.
Rory, what's your thoughts on this race?
I didn't have a particularly strong view. I think, yeah, Ruby makes a very good point there that the race that Juniper Berries won, she did it in very good style. Eve Johnson-Houghton is a very good handler of a horse these days. And it's worked out very well with Heed the Call and Beenham winning next time out. I used to live very close to Beenham many moons ago. That's by the by.
Really is.
A fine part of the country. But yeah, that form has worked out really well. So, you know, again, sometimes it's staring you in the face and trying to be clever about it just makes you look daft.
Are we looking at the fact that Tom Marcant's gone to Salisbury on a Thursday? You know, of York? Could he have, maybe Haggis doesn't have that many runners on the Thursday. I don't know. That is eye-catching, I thought. And he does ride Relief Rally. Right, Ruby, I want your thoughts on four declared horses for William Mullins. William Mullins, the season may be done, the national season. I know we talked about this last week. It's not really. There's still some of the winter horses out there. But William Mullins is winning races in Nashville, and he's winning races everywhere else. Killarney had a cracking Killarney. Jit Lange is the first of four declared horses at Limerick Junction Tipperary on Thursday night, 5 o'clock. JP Silks looks... potentially.
It'd be hard to beat PK. And I know a lot of people would say, oh, look, Gusta Wind beat Jit Lange at Autoy last September, and Gusta Wind hasn't exactly franked the form. But because Gusta Wind was a winner, he wasn't going to be a novice. So Gusta Wind then came from France into training from Danielle and Mille and was trained this season, wasn't given a break. Whereas Jit Lange, being a maiden, was given a break after he was bought and then prepped for now. So they've had two different, completely different preparations, and I wouldn't rule out Gusta Wind next year. I'd say I'd probably have a nice handicap mark after the runs he's had. But Jit Lange, yeah, I would say on form, PK, will be really hard to beat at Tipperary in the first of the maiden hurdles. That's at 5 o'clock. In the 5:30, William Paul have Got Glory. She was really disappointing on her only start behind Ashra Diamond at Fairy House. Jack Foley rode her on that occasion, but she ran really poor. She, her work at home had been okay. Having said that, we've had her quite a while. She was a winner in July of 21. So she's been around Claus Sutton since probably August of 21. Took almost however long it did take to get her to the track, but she should have improved for that run, and hopefully she'll run a bit better than she did on that occasion. The 7:50 is the last maiden hurdle, is it? No, it's not 7:50.
7:15.
What path in the 3 mile maiden hurdle? Obviously won a bumper at Galway last season, then disappointed in a maiden hurdle at Listowel where he pulled up. Hasn't run since, but he's plenty of work done. He's by Coastal Pat. I'm nearly sure he came from Pat Doyle's What Path. He didn't run the point of point. He was one of the COVID years. He's one of the COVID horses. He didn't run the point of point. But he's loads of jumping done, and I'd say he can put a line through his Listowel run. That was too bad to be true. And then reading Tommy Wrong in the double green of Simon Muneer and Isaac Suede. He won his bumper first time up when he beat Arabian Diamond at Ballinrobe. We think a bit of him. He's probably a little bit better than a summer horse. And I wouldn't be surprised if reading Tommy Wrong went to the field after Thursday.
Every horse for Simon Muneer and Isaac Suede won at the William Mullins Yard. Am I right in saying?
Everyone that ran
has won. That's some strike rate, isn't it? Why would you bother sending another one elsewhere? I'd
say they filter them, do they?
Oh, they must.
It looks like they do. They filter them in or whatever way they do it, but they've had a great year, and fair play to them. And it probably bolsters the reputation of Irish racing, PK, that's the way they're backing it.
More and more seem to be coming in the double green. That's just a look ahead to Tipperary, which you can follow as per usual on Sky Sports Racing or in a Paddy Power shop on Thursday evening.
Where can you follow Tipperary Racing?
Did I say Sky Sports Racing? Is it breaking news that the HRI deal has
that one of the HRI tracks?
There's a new offset there, a new track that have joined the United Irish Racecourses there, Tipperary, owned by HRI. Yeah, that'll be on Racing TV. Sorry. And no, go bad, Racing TV, Ruby man. Point to that straight away. Paddy Power shops, they've got all the racing. Never mind what channel I'm on. Just go into a shop, you'll see them all. Right, it's time for Thursday naps. I'm going to go to you, Rory, first for your nap on Thursday, because I'd say you might go to York. You might.
I will, yeah. I'll go each way nap, because you do like an each way nap, don't you?
I love one.
The Foxes in the 335, which is the Dante Stakes.
It is indeed. The Foxes each way, the nap for Rory. And Ruby, to remind us your nap on Thursday, please.
I'm going for Juniper Berries at Salisbury, even the 205. And look, I'm delighted that it's kind of annoying you because Racing Breaks Rider at Ascot did as well. But a winning nap is a winning nap, PK.
It doesn't annoy me as long as it wins. It doesn't annoy me. It's just York's on and people are going to
It disappoints you. I know by your face.
Okay, thank you. I'm not disappointed. I'm delighted that, and hopefully another winning app. Juniper Berries, Ruby's on the gin, in the race sponsored by a gin company. Lads, thank you very much. We will be back tomorrow to look ahead to Friday and then back to look at the Saturday as well. Ruby's going on holiday, so Ryan McHugh's going to step in. Enjoy your holidays, Ruby. We're delighted for you.
I'm not actually going anywhere, but I'm not around to do the podcast both mornings, but I will be around. I have something else to do, PK.
Oh my God. That is outrageous. I was told it's holidays and now it's just could be ours. All right. Well, don't enjoy what you're doing then, Ruby Walsh. Rory, we'll be talking to you tomorrow ahead of Friday's action, which features, of course, the Yorkshire Cup. And then Saturday, which is the big feature there being the Group 1 Lock and Stakes. And also, we might have a quick look ahead to Sunday where Willie Mullins has got a truck of runners, I imagine, in France. Has he, Ruby?
He has 8, I think.
8 going to Auteuil on Sunday.
2 in the Grand Steep, 2 in the Pre-Allen Debris, that's 4. 4 in the Grand Course de High, and 1, 9.
9, okay. And Gavin Cromwell sending Florian Port. I'll have to text you then and get you to see which one of those is going to win.
Is the Shark sending Hewick?
Oh yeah, Hewick's going for the Champion Hurdle, which is over 3 miles.
Or Nicholson send one in the Pre-Allen Debris.
And if you want to watch all the action Auteuil, go into a Paddy Power shop or watch Sky Sports Racing. Right, listen, lads, thanks very much. We will leave it be. We'll be back tomorrow to look ahead to Friday. Enjoy and best of luck to your bets.